Pleased to again talk about some of the work that we've been doing over the last several years. I first would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Gail Ostermeyer, who works with me at John Deere, and John Sawyer, whose team collected all of the field data that I'm going to be sharing with you today. My presentation is quite a bit different than what I thought it was going to be a few weeks ago. I had intended to spend quite a bit of time talking about John Deere's image acquisition technology, but just over the last few weeks, John Deere Agri Services has announced that they're going to be exiting that business. Although the technology that was developed was performing very well, and the market was starting to see the value in the technology. John Deere Agri Services had invested a great deal in hiring a bunch of people and I think building more systems than the slow rate of market penetration would have warranted. So rather than throttling it back, they turned the dial all the way to off. But nonetheless, they are planning to divest that technology to someone else. Hopefully, this technology will still be available to agriculture, and some of the concepts that I've like to share with you this morning hopefully will still be useful for aerial remote sensing, satellite remote sensing, and I think they have a number of applications for the same sorts of concepts for vehicle-based sensors. The results that I'll be sharing today are from eight large strip studies that were conducted throughout Iowa in 2006. Each of these were large field studies with grower equipment applying 12 or 16 row strips throughout the whole field. The treatments were the current Iowa state recommendations, 120 or 180 pounds of nitrogen, then a half rate of nitrogen, a zero rate of nitrogen, and also then a very high rate of nitrogen in each of the corn, soybean, or corn rotations. And these then acted as reference strips for the trials. SPAB meter readings were taken in late vegetative development at 80 to 120 locations throughout each of the fields, and then we went out and took aerial images within about 3 days of the SPAD data collection. This is a typical design of the field studies. You can see we have three replicates of each of the nitrogen treatments. There were some additional treatments where based upon the SPAD meter readings, there were some additional nitrogen applications made mid-season. Today I won't be talking about the response to that additional N, but instead the relationships between the imagery and the yield response that we observed, or I guess the yield stress that we were observing. You can see there were SPAD meter readings at each of those locations in kind of a grid pattern within the field. There would have been 20 SPAD meter readings taken at each of those points. So you can see John and his team put forth a great deal of effort to collect probably more data per field than most of the other studies, I think, that anyone else has reported on. And what we did then is we drew a box that was a little bit smaller than the dimensions of each strip, extracted the underlying yield points and also the underlying pixel values from the aerial images, express that data then as a GNDVI and another term that I'll be talking about, relative vigor, that we think is a concept that has some utility. All of the data that I'll be sharing today I'm expressing on the basis of relative yield or relative sensor readings. And so as everyone else has done, you know, I guess historically, all of the SPAD meter readings and the GNDVI values, essentially we're expressing those relative to the mean values within the high-end reference strip. So it would have been for those SPAD meter readings that would have fallen within the high-end reference strip, we then determined the average yield for those points at the high-end reference strip and then expressed all of the other points relative to that target value. Although I don't mean to imply that I'm not an advocate of high-end reference strips. I think certainly it has its value, but we've seen many situations where we're interested in characterizing the level of nitrogen stress if there aren't high-end reference strips available in the field. So this relative vigor concept then is is one where, rather than selecting a target value within the high-end reference strips, we're saying just show me the highest GNDVI value in that field, regardless of where it's observed. And you can see here these dark blue pixels. You can see there's kind of a preponderance of those points that fall within the high-end reference strips. But we also see a lot of those same high GNDVI values even at the 120 nitrogen, 120 pound or 180 pound or the normal nitrogen rate. So we think that this target level can be used in those cases where we don't have a high-end reference strip established. I'm going to show you results from one of the more N-responsive sites. This would have been in Washington County. Here we're comparing the relative spad meter readings versus the relative yield. Relative yield here is just an indicator of nitrogen stress level. You can see a very good relationship then between the spad values as other people have shown. I guess the other point I'd like to make is that these points over on this side, the dark circles, you can see that there is a considerable range of spad values within the high-end reference strip and also a corresponding high range in yields within those high-end reference strips. So, you know, I think one of the problems we've all had trying to determine what's the target rate within a high-end reference strip. Should we be using the mean? Should we be using one of the best areas within that high-end reference strip? And I think this data kind of illustrates that quite well. You can see here we have an R-squared of about 0.67. When we looked at the aerial image in this particular study, you can see we've got a somewhat better relationship, kind of tightens things up. So the images seem to be much more or better related to the level of nitrogen stress than the spad meter readings themselves. So I think this is an important concept. I think we would expect that this same relationship, although we haven't tested it, that we might expect that rather than trying to equate our technologies to a spad meter value, it probably makes much more sense for us to try to relate this to relative yield, because that's a much better expression of nitrogen stress than the spad meter. I think it also illustrates that these recommendations that had been obtained, there was a publication by Scarf et al. Last year showing that spad meter readings can provide very good estimates of nitrogen stress, and they've developed some calibrations for that. We believe that these sorts of results indicate that we should be able to do even better with either remote sensing or proximal sensors than what we might be able to do with a spad meter reading. So I think a very optimistic assessment, this type of technology can provide a very good indication of potential yield response. The same exact relationship would result as we'd expect when I show the results for an individual field if we use this relative vigor concept. We've done this on all 8 of these studies. You can see across all of these fields that we generally get an equivalent or most often a better relationship in each of the field studies when we use the images as compared to the spad meter. You can see that in many cases we didn't have a very good relationship with either sensing system when we related it to yield, but in those situations typically we weren't seeing much of a yield depression even when we applied zero nitrogen. So we didn't get much of a nitrogen response in those situations where our relationships were fairly low. So what we're most interested in was what would happen if we pooled the results then across all of these studies. So we've got eight different field studies with about 100 points per field. So we've got 800 points that are shown here on this graph. So you can see a very nice relationship between the spad meter measurements and the level of stress observed. You can see an R-squared of 0.44. When we did this for GNDVI, again, using the reference strips, we went from 0.44 to 0.53, and we found the same thing when we used this relative vigor concept, where if we wouldn't have had a high-end reference strip, again, we would have gotten a relationship that's better than what we would have seen with a spad meter measurement. So this result indicates that all of these technologies are capable of providing a very good assessment of potential yield loss because we've encountered a situation where we've got significant nitrogen stress. We've then taken this same data set and extracted it with a somewhat different approach. In this case, we extracted the average yield and the average pixel value for each of the strips within the field, and then we calculated an average value for each treatment rate on each of those fields. And the results then are shown on these two graphs. As we would have expected, as we start showing means rather than individual values, our R-squareds improve considerably. This upper graph is showing the relationship between relative yield and relative GNDVI, where we had a high-end reference strip. We found just about as good a relationship when we didn't have a high-end reference strip. So very important results. What we've got here are our eight fields and four nitrogen rates within each of those fields. And what we're proposing here is that this graph illustrates what we would have seen if we would have been trying to characterize the mean nitrogen stress for a whole field, for example. So each of these, it's the mean of the three replicates of each nitrogen rate. But we believe that this also illustrates that we could use this same technology to identify those fields that are going to be most responsive to additional applications of nitrogen fertilizer. The other point I would make while I have this up is that as you can see, a lot of the relationships, the good relationships that we see in many of these studies is due in very large part to the fact that we've included some zero nitrogen rates in these trials. And if I just looked at the relationship for the points up here without the inclusion of those zero nitrogen rates, my relationships would fall off considerably. But I think, in my opinion, one of the things that we often focus too much on is on calibrating the level of nitrogen stress to what the recommended N rate should be. I think the more important decision for the technologies we are working on are whether or not we really need to go into those fields and do anything to them at all. So rather than fretting about, trying to come within 20 or 30 pounds between what level of N I might need to be applying for the parts of the field that are up on this part of the curve, I think the most important decisions are trying to identify those fields that are going to be more responsive to nitrogen, either because I've had a very rainy spring and I've lost a lot of my nitrogen, or because the manure I applied wasn't giving me the value that the textbook said it should have given me. So I think that's a major point here. For those of you who aren't used to thinking about relative yields, we've created the same relationships here. Rather than looking at relative yield, what we're looking at here is the yield differential or potential yield loss that we would see due to nitrogen stress, where we, again, in this case, we've used the high-end reference strip average up here to define 100% or to define no yield loss. Down here, we've set the zero yield loss to the mean yield for those best pixels within the fields. And in both cases, you can see we still get a very good relationship between the actual bushels per acre that we're losing in these fields as compared to if we'd have had sufficient N. In summary then, this relative vigor concept where we use best areas in the field rather than high-end reference strips has shown that it could provide us with very reliable maps of nitrogen stress in corn when a grower has provided close to the recommended rate of nitrogen earlier in the growing season. We're not suggesting that high-end reference strips aren't useful for these types of recommendations. We believe that they are, but in those situations where the reference strips haven't been included and a grower is afraid that he has lost a significant amount of his nitrogen fertilizer, we think we can still make a valid assessment without having that reference strip pre-planned earlier in his growing season. And again, to reiterate, a major strength of aerial imagery, and I guess one of the reasons that I'm quite disappointed in John Deere's decision. I think I don't know that aerial images are superior to vehicle-based sensors, but one of the things that it can do, it allows the decision maker to look at the aerial images, decide if he's a co-op, if he's got 100 or 1,000 fields that he wants to determine. It helps him to select that 10 or 20% of the field that are really going to benefit greatly from that additional application of nitrogen fertilizer. So I think that was my last slide.
Any questions?
Yes.
How were the images taken?
Yes, they were. So John Deere had a very elegant system. They had Cessna aircraft that were equipped with four-band multispectral sensors with the GPS and IMU, so they were able to more or less automatically capture the images, geo-reference them, and create very well registered, I think very very high quality images, and that technology still exists. It just won't belong to John Deere at this point.
Thank you.
Yes, Jeff. Could you repeat that, Jeff? Yes, we did. That's an interesting question. I think some of the work by Gittleson suggested that using things, indices like chlorophyll index, should have given us a better result than what we found with GNDVI. We looked at that quite extensively, but in our situation, we didn't find much of an improvement. And I guess as we tried to understand that, we believe the reason for that is that this imaging technology that John Deere was using, the exposure, I would say, for each of the four bands was set independently of one another. So we didn't have a fixed ratio between each of the bands as you'd normally have from satellite imagery, et cetera. So essentially we didn't see the sort of saturation that one would typically see if you had those fixed ratios of bands. Jeff? Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess we haven't really focused at this point very much on that. I think what John Deere was doing this last growing season was that we were using directed SPAD meter measurements within the targeted field, and we were then essentially using the calibrations that came out of the Peter Scarf's paper, and that's how we were doing it now. I guess next year we would have come up with a different strategy, but we'll probably put that on hold for right now, Jeff.
Ted?
We've collected quite a few images in parts of Iowa this year, and I think we're still going to be looking at some analysis of that data set right now. What we, I guess, based upon my, some of the work we had done in previous years, I think we have to get up to V8, V9, V10 before we're able to hardly see any canopy present. So V10 is kind of pushing it about as far as you can. We have seen results in some of the work we did previously where V8 or V9, we still see some pretty good relationships, but I feel much better in terms of being able to really see the, a significant amount of the canopy once we reach, closer to V10, I think.
And that was with your NDVI?
And that would be also with NDVI or GNDVI. So with aerial imagery, and I think it depends upon soil brightness and things like that in terms of how much canopy you really need to have in place before the crop starts expressing itself effectively.
Any more questions?
One more back here.
What kind of resolution are you able to get? How many rows or how many feet?
Okay, the question was about the resolution of the camera systems. The camera systems were flying at about 8,000 feet, and at that elevation they were capturing about 1 meter pixels. Certainly if we fly lower, we could have captured higher resolution images than that, but that gives you a pretty good idea of what the configuration looked like.
Okay, very good. We'll take our speaker.